Hello, Carol here with Arts Live and Local, and you're listening to the music of the wonderful violin of Kim Angelis, part of our KMUN family. This is her 2019 album, and it was indeed a miracle, and not a small miracle. So we are thrilled to have the album Passages and this song, Lavender Farm, about the lavender farm across the river, Pink Painted Lady. And we're celebrating May Day. That's the part of May Day, the oldest part, which is about the coming of spring. And I'm sure we're all delighted to have the colors and the fragrances and the green and the warmth and the light. I also want to send healing blessings to Kim and to Rosie and Sue Z and Earl, Michelle, Eva, Mumia. One of the other reasons I wanted to share Kim's music is that her wonderful partner of many, many years was also a KMUN family member, Yosef Galt. And Yosef died recently, and we send blessings for him. And for Elizabeth Furse, for our local good friend, Pam Chestnut, for another local, Jim Fink, and for an extended family friend of mine, Adrian Nell in Mozambique. Isis has never been this close in my life. Also, in 2012, on this very day, my beloved Hershey died. Many of you know her. That's my four-footed Hershey. And to bring us around to the joys, more joys of life, I want to wish a very happy birthday today to Sue. Yes, Sue Skinner. I'm going to say the whole name. And coming up next week, another radio supporter and community wonder, Lori Kaplan. And if it's your birthday, let's celebrate you too. And wish everybody Ramadan Mubarak. And now I'm going to bring us some of the joys that we offer here, starting with Jerry Fouts. And Jerry is a local watercolor artist who is opening a show tomorrow at the Trails End Gallery. It's a watercolor show with two other artists, Linda Gebhardt and Linda Weiss, or Wiss. And this will be part of the Gearhart First Saturday Art Walk, which happens, yeah, every first Saturday from 2 to 5. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you, Carol?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining me. You reminded me that we have spent time together. We spent time with the Wolves several years ago, which was an exciting event. But your being an artist, I'm not sure when that started, because it sounds as though you have a strong science background. You taught physics and chemistry in Honolulu?
Yes.
Did you do art at that time?
A little bit. I wasn't really all that involved with painting or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then my husband, it was time for him to retire, and we were looking for a place to retire in, and that's when we came up here and just fell in love with the coast,
mm-hmm.
The cooler weather, bigger parking lots, so many cars, and that's when I started. I joined Trails End and started taking classes.
Well, what prompted you?
To take classes?
Yeah.
Well, my sister was a fine arts major, and she taught high school art.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both in Hawaii together. And I just always admired painting and that kind of expression. And when I finally had the time, I just fell in love with it.
Did you think you had a talent for it? Was it intimidating? These are some of the things that keep people from taking those first steps.
I had a beginning art class with from Judy Fredrickson.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I never thought that I could do something like that. But it was just, painting is like magic. And if I could put something on the paper that I really, you know, a way of looking at something, and people come and look at it and understand that, then I feel I've done something. Mind you, not everything I paint is ready to be hung on a wall.
Do you paint with watercolor exclusively?
Yes, I do. I've tried oil, and I've tried acrylic, but I always go back to watercolor. I just like the way it blends on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anything else could quite. Each of those mediums has their own positives and negatives, but I just like the way watercolor works on a paper.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, but I don't put it there. I just look at it and appreciate it. And I was quite surprised to learn from some of the artists, I will call them professional because they do it for life and also sell, that watercolor is actually in many ways harder because you can't fix mistakes.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
You've discovered that, have you?
You're pretty much, yes. With oil, you could always paint over it, put your painting right over it.
Right, right.
Acrylic has its limits, too, because it dries so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, watercolor, you just kind of, it's a happy surprise when something happens. You have to quick decide whether you want that or not.
Right. So how long have you been doing this?
Oh, about 15.
Oh.
About 15 years.
Okay. I've very much enjoyed the piece that's featured in the paper. It's, I'm not sure if it's a particular place or just an...
Seaside.
It is Seaside.
Yeah.
Okay. So that brings me to, you mentioned draw.
Oh,
what
yeah.
is draw?
Draw is a group of us that, mainly from Astoria, there's a few of us from outside of Astoria. And Christy Payne started the draw group.
Uh-huh.
And when she moved east, I said, what's going to happen now, Christy? And she said, well, you're going to take this over, and you're going to take all my notes. And all you have to do is schedule a year's worth of places to draw. I said, I don't even know most of these things. She said, you will. It'll take a while.
This sounds so Christy.
I know.
That's wonderful. So how does it feel? It's been a couple of years now.
Oh, yeah. I think it's been about 5, 6 years. It's good. Wow. It's good. Mm-hmm. We made it through COVID.
Okay, now tell us how it works, though, because most people, including myself, didn't know or don't know.
Well, there's it's for people who want to draw outside. Sometimes we're inside. We usually end up in parks or coffee houses or the Column or the museums or where they're launching boats or things mm-hmm. like that.
Do you choose the subject as well as the place?
Say that again?
Do you choose the subject?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, the place. I do. I sometimes have a committee.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. If I run out of ideas. And I just make up the schedule, and every 2 weeks I send out the notice of where we're going. And we always meet at 10 o'clock, and it's every other Thursday morning. And we just draw. We just go out. Some people bring paints. Some people just bring a pencil. And it's interesting to see, you know, Thursday after Thursday after Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have come and had never drawn before. And, you know, after a couple years of working at it, you know, they're really, really very good.
Well, and you have some local hotshots who join
oh,
you,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's quite a range in experience.
Yeah.
But what I was wondering, for example, you said you go someplace to the Column, do you then, does everybody paint the same scene or can, no.
no.
So someone can be facing in an entirely different direction.
It could. We're just all there and you paint whatever or draw whatever you want to draw.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Sometimes they start drawing each other.
Okay.
Or, you know, just whatever you find.
So how does someone get involved in this if they're interested?
They could send me an email and ask to be put on the list. And there's no qualifications. I don't know if it's always been that way, but when I took it over,
mm-hmm.
The general idea was it could be anybody, and we get people who, you know, live off their art,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and other people who just want to try it.
Yeah, yeah, which is terrific because there's the mixture, too. People can get inspired by one another. So what do you find yourself usually choosing to... Not for the draw group, but for your own art.
I like drawing cities or places in cities. And, of course, landscapes, flowers. About the only thing I don't draw are portraits. I stay away from portraits.
Mm-hmm.
If something looks painterly, if I walk into something and I could see that there's some kind of natural design to it, I'll try it. Could be a park bench or, a pair of shoes or
nice.
Cars. People mm-hmm. like to draw cars and trucks and stuff.
What about Linda and Linda?
Linda Gebhardt often draws landscapes and beaches.
Okay.
And Linda Weiss, I would say landscapes also, but I think she also draws flowers.
Is she the one who did the goldfish or the carp?
Say that again?
Is she the one who did the two fish swimming?
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong piece. I've seen it. Before. So, okay, so this is happening. You're opening tomorrow. Now, Trails End is a collective gallery, is that right?
Yes, it's a cooperative.
And I understand it's been working since 1950.
I know.
That is extraordinary.
It's
the oldest art association in the entire region.
Yeah.
So has it always been in that sweet little red building?
Yes, that's the we
wow.
own building.
It's so, in the middle of a field.
I
still never remember how to get there. Because
we have a small lot that the building is on. It was a schoolhouse.
Ah.
They moved it to the small
okay.
lot and plunked it down.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, which is great.
Started by a handful of gals. I think there were a couple fellows in it also.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanting a place to go to paint. And it stayed. It just stuck right in there.
Yeah. Well, it's a sweet place,
yes.
And you've had some wonderful shows and classes.
Yes.
I've been there for classes by various. And is it mostly local and regional artists?
Mostly. The
yeah.
classes, though, in the summertime, we try to bring in people, notables from other places.
Mm-hmm.
And we held off last year with COVID, but now this year we're just starting to pick up on doing that again, having a set of, there's a gal coming in who's going to be teaching alcohol inks.
Oh, fun, yeah.
Alcohol inks.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Trails End Gallery,
yes.
And the website is?
I just go to Trails End Artists.
Okay.
And in Gearhart, and it takes me there.
Got it. Good. Okay, folks, so the Gearhart, first Saturday Gearhart Art Walk is 2 to 5 p.m. tomorrow. And the, I'm not sure what your hours are these days.
Normally we're open from 11 till 3.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
We have groups that meet in there. There's a handful of watercolor people or pastel or I think collage even meets there.
Yeah.
And during the week. So we're not officially open.
Right.
But if you come to the door and you see people in there, you could always step in and say, can I have a look around?
Right. And it's a lovely place, and it's not big, but it's got quite a bit of diversity there. So tomorrow, 2 to 5, and also in Gearhart, a great gallery, and Cascade Sotheby's and the Natural Nook are showing from 2 to 5.
Yeah.
And then, while you're in the neighborhood, you head a few miles south, and the Seaside Art Walk is from 5 to 7.
That's right.
And they've got Sunrose, Pacific Heirloom, Fairweather, Tiger Lily, The Wet Spot, Starry Night, and many shops are showing art as well.
Yes.
It's a little bigger place, but can make a day of it. Okay. Well, Jerry, thank you so much, and congratulations on the show.
Thank you, Carol.
And I look forward to getting back to Trails End Gallery.
Good.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see you tomorrow.
I'm not sure I'm ready to go. I don't get outside too much. I'm still stuck in beautiful Brownsmead, which is not a difficult thing to be. But I will be coming back to Trails End because it is one of my favorites.
Yes.
It's just so special. So, okay.
Thanks, Carol.
You bet. Uh-huh. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And got some music for you coming up here on KMUN. KMUN.org, by the way, thank you so much to all of you who participated in our pledge/membership drive. We did make our goal, but you know, that button will always be on the website, and we would be much appreciative for anyone who pitches in at any time. We just put the pressure on because the funds must be raised. So a couple of times a year we come to you, but any time works, and much appreciated. You become part of the family, which is a good thing to be. Today, in 1975, was the, quote, ending, unquote, of the Vietnam War. Go to KMUN.org, podcast, and listen to Michael McCusker's program. He covered a lot of ground on a lot of subjects, and all of it was excellent. Right now, let's hear from Jim Hind, formerly of Seattle, and a wonderful singer-songwriter, who another person who died too young. Thanks for being here.
I was 18 and change when the telephone rang, calling me to report to the sea. The Vietnam War raged on every front page in the country. I sailed to the war of a faraway shore with boys no wiser than I. Too young to vote and hoping too young to die. Serving time for the crime of being born American male. Where sons become brothers in arms or brothers in jail. Oh, perhaps it was love or self-prescribed drugs or the limbo of lost out at sea. Sailing that line beyond reason and rhyme. Frank, Dennis, and me. I recall the resorts, all the opium parts, but truth shines later in life. For the plight of the pawn fails greatly in the light of the king. How convenient is a God who would spare not the rod, send his only child to die in the hands of a power intent on only saving a life. I turned 21 years old, coming home from the South China Sea. Slapping paint on the rust of the sinking American dream. And did the home fires burn upon the hero's return? Was the red carpet rolled to the sea? Where was the parade when democracy was saved by Frank?
Yeah, 45 years ago, folks. And I'm sure many of us have family or friends who spent time there. There go the sirens. Yeah, that's right. And for those who never came back. And for those who came back with injuries visible and not visible. And for all the wars that continue, despite our saying, never again. Let's do it. Let's stop it. And let's support. And by the way, there's some special elections coming up. I got my ballot today in the mail. It's not a big one, but it's important. So make sure you know what you're voting on. And you can, again, go to KMUN.org and podcast the conversation with station manager Graham Nystrom and the broadcast, the candidates on a couple of the conversations that went on. So check that out. My next guest is right here in Astoria and has been for a while, although I knew her a long time ago and then I thought she disappeared. And yeah, I guess I was right. Is that Luca Etienne is with me, and suddenly she reappeared, and her art is appearing not this week. Remember, this is first Saturday, and that's Gear Art in Seaside. Second Saturday Art Walk is right here in Astoria with a huge number of galleries and other venues showing art. And Luca is showing at the Riversea Gallery with A Voice of Stone. And you're in the alcove. So what? Well, first of all, congratulations on the show and welcome KMUN, Arts Live and Local. Luca, what does that mean with A Voice of Stone?
Oh, I write poetry as well as do charcoals. And a lot of my charcoals are inspired by my poems and vice versa. So with A Voice of Stone is a reference to grabbing your courage and moving through something. And it's kind of fitting for this show because I've never actually shown as a solo artist in a gallery, and it's been a pipe dream of mine forever.
Mm-hmm. So, wow, that's very exciting. Yeah, I can't wait to see the show. That's going to be special. I've seen your work in group shows. It's been quite diverse. I'm not sure I've seen your charcoal work. How long have you been doing that?
Actually, I've dabbled in charcoal only since probably I was 55, 56. And then I dove into poetry, and then I had a friend who introduced me to masks. And I spent 2 years making masks, probably 200 of them. So you've probably seen my masks.
Yes, that's right.
When I was the AVA Air resident, artist in residence. And then the last studio show I had at AVA was a combination of charcoals with masks in the workshop that I was, the studio that they had provided for me. And so now this is all a result of COVID, which there aren't too many good results, but this was a really good result. I was furloughed from my preschool teaching job. I have 30 years of teaching mostly at the primary level, but I had been working at a preschool and I was furloughed in March and completely at loose ends because of COVID and lockdown. And my son said to me, I have some canvas. And I started using charcoal on the canvas, and I've never looked back.
Wow.
Since April, last April.
Wow.
I just dove into it, and I'm obsessed with it. I probably do it every morning. So.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to read something from the write-up about you. Indeed, a visual artist and poet, and I have heard Luca read her poetry as well, creates anthropomorphic works referencing cultural and cosmic influences. So I know the word anthropomorphic. I've even used it in a sentence. However, I did look it up on my computer dictionary, and here's what it said. Attribution of human characteristics or behaviors to a god, animal, or object. Now, I always thought of it as just an animal. So now I'm wondering, how do you see it, and how does it show up in your art?
Okay, there's a twofold answer to that. First of all, part of that reference to anthropomorphic refers to my masks, because my masks don't show human faces. They show entities. They're supposed to grab you as if they're a presence, because I'm trying to show the sacredness of the earth, of the sky, of the earth, of the sea. Those, so they're anthropomorphic of the creation of the cosmos.
Got it.
Okay. And
nice.
And also, my present work is only faces. And because I consider faces, this may sound a little off the wall, but to me it's very important, that people are part of that sacredness of the cosmos and of the biosphere. And to me, their faces are like shrines that are always carrying the presence of the transcendence. So to me, I hope I communicate some of that through my drawings.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the connection between your poetry and your drawings?
Okay.
Or any of your art?
My poetry also speaks to that sacredness, and, like, here's an example. Okay, I have
Do you have a poem?
I have quite a few. One of the pieces in the show is of a refugee. It's called The Refugee Within, and it directly references my poem Detritus, which is extremely short.
Why don't you go ahead and read it instead of us talking about it? Go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Especially, Luca, since today is the last day, not of poetry, God forbid, but of Poetry Month.
Yes.
April
yes.
is Poetry Month. And there was a special on Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who died in February of this year, defense of poetry. So let's hear your poem, Detritus.
Okay. And it also is in honor of the 90 million refugees in the world today.
Thank you.
Okay, it's called Detritus. Like a hawk to the lure, the heart returns again and again to the hopes that blossomed in the youth of the world. It is no small thing to sing down the dark. It is no small thing to sing down the dark when the refugee within has taken to the road, trundling only the echoes of their lives. It is no small thing.
Wow. Yeah.
And one of my favorite pieces in the show is The Refugee. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, boy. You really are putting this all together. Now, what happens when schools reopen? Are you going to start teaching again? And then what happens to your art?
Okay. I've decided this is for me my next calling.
Good.
I've been retired supposedly and gone back to work twice, but I'm now 73 years old, so I'm looking forward to the next 10 or 20 years just doing art.
How wonderful. So then let's back up, because as I say, I knew you way back. I don't even know when it was, but you were here in Astoria.
Yes. And I remember you, too. You were very involved in dance.
Yes, yes.
It's exciting to me, yes.
So were you making art then as well?
I was, indirectly, I was teaching, and every day of every year that I taught, I had an active art center going where there was a different art project each day of the year for the kids. So I was constantly inventing art projects for them to do. So that sort of kept my creative juices flowing.
Right.
But basically, I was not doing my own art. It was on hold.
Yeah.
Till I retired. So.
Yeah. Well, this is a fabulous story. I love it. And people will be able to see your art with A Voice of Stone. It's in the alcove of the River Sea Gallery. Opening a week from tomorrow, and these days in Astoria, Art Walk is usually all day, like starting at noon until 8 or something. In the other part, the large room at River Sea, will be Kate Speranza, also from Astoria, and the name is Uncurated, A Visual Survey of the Unintentional. So I think there's going to be a nice contrast between the two spaces and the art of each. And I look forward to seeing it. So congratulations, Luca. Boy, you are on a roll. And and you're still writing poetry.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Do you have a lot of discipline? Does that help? Or are you just so in love with this that it's carrying you?
I'm just so in love with it. I've hardly ever been accused of having discipline.
We'll talk about that later. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in on the airwaves.
Yes.
Luca Etienne at Riversea Galleries, opening May 8th. And we'll talk about that again next week. We'll give a mention. Okay. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
And you are listening to Arts Live and Local, and you never know what you're going to come up with. So right now we're going to hear a song by two fabulous singers, musicians, and songwriters, Meredith K. Clark and Jen Grinnells, known as Siren Songs. This song, I'm not sure it's even out to the world yet, but we're going to have a listen, and then Meredith and Jen are going to talk to us. Thanks for being here, folks.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. I know how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee waltz.
Is a beautiful rendition of the Tennessee Waltz. And Luca was right. Dance is my art form, and I would be dancing around right now, except my car is a little bit constricting. So I'm just moving the upstairs of the body. I have the two singers with me, I hope, Meredith K. Clark. Hello.
Hello.
That was gorgeous. And Jen Grinnells. Hi.
Hi there. Hi.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. I'm honored that we at KMUN get to share your song. When are you releasing it? Did you do that today, or what's happening?
Yes, today is the day. It was released at midnight last night. So
wow.
You are one of the very first people to
Woo-hoo!
Play it.
Okay. All right. Gold star for KMUN. Well, I am thrilled. I heard, actually, I think the first time I heard Meredith was at the, in Longview, doing the entire album, Joni Mitchell's Blue. Is that correct? Or was that at the Coaster?
Yes, and then I came to your radio show before we played Blue again in Cannon Beach.
Right, okay. So that was 2016. Mm-hmm. That is almost exactly 5 years ago. April 3rd, 2016. Holy cow. Time sure flies, or doesn't it? I'm not sure. So, and I did get to see it. And it was quite wonderful. Then you appeared at the Liberty with Jen Grinnells, the two of you, mm-hmm. as Siren Songs. And that was November 2019. I had to look this up. I have to admit, my brain doesn't retain. But you did a gorgeous performance at the Liberty. And you have quite a variety of music. So tell us, where did the Tennessee Waltz come from?
Well, originally, that was, I do a program called, I don't know what to call it. It's a website called Patreon, where I get patron support to support my creative process, basically. And that song in particular was a suggestion from my mother-in-law. I had never heard of that song before.
Wait a minute. And who's speaking? Is this Jen or Meredith?
This is Jen.
This is Jen. Okay. I love it. How old are you? May I ask how old you are if you've never heard of the Tennessee Waltz?
Oh,
never mind. Folks, you get the idea, though. Okay, go ahead. So your mother-in-law suggested. That's like a classic.
It was her suggestion. Her participation in the website is such that she gets to recommend a song for me to cover. So I looked it up and wanted to change up the arrangement a little bit. And then Meredith happens to be a patron as well on this website. And I think, Meredith, you can correct me, but I think the story goes that you heard it and you were like, I could add harmony to that. We could make it a Siren song. And we decided to spruce it up a little and put it out for real.
So you were already singing together, though, the two of you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Jen and I have been playing music together for our entire adult lives. We met in San Diego in our early 20s and have been making music for a long time. And then a couple years ago, she moved from Nashville to Portland and thought she was only going to spend it part-time here.
You sucked her in.
The year has gone. She has spent a lot more time in Portland. And that was kind of, over the last couple of years, our like kind of musical careers collided and resulted in Siren Songs. And this is like right in like kind of the heart of the music we're making, like harpa, Americana duet mm-hmm. music, and as soon as I heard Jen's version, I was like, "Oh, I can't wait to sing on it!" And it was really, really fun to make.
Well, it is gorgeous. First of all, each of you has beautiful voice, but when you put them together, it goes right to the heart. So, and that's not just this song, of course; it's all your music. I do want to give an aside there, Jen. You have a theatrical career as well, or you did? Is that true?
Meredith and I met doing musicals professionally after we both graduated from schools. And I think I did that. That was my main career for about 5 or 6 years. Meredith did it much longer. And but now we're actually getting back to it, I would say.
Oh, really?
So we'll be,
that's cool.
I recently wrote a musical recently,
actually one of the songs that we played that night that you heard, in Astoria, is featured in it. And we are going to put up a concert version of it this summer, and Meredith and I are each going to sing a couple songs from it.
So you'll, when you say that, does that mean you'll each sing solo?
In this case, as far as what I've written so far and for these particular characters, they are solos, but with lots of, some of them with lots of backup vocals. And the lead characters are played by teenagers, and there are some, there are duets and harmonies and things like that. We're still kind of putting it together, but it should be in July.
Okay, so what I had remembered was that Jen played Elphaba. Is that correct?
Oh, no. Meredith played Elphaba.
Meredith played Elphaba.
That was me.
Oh, my goodness. How did I mix those up? So for just as you didn't know Tennessee Waltz, some people don't know Elphaba. Could you tell them who that is?
Sure. And the retelling of this, the Wizard of Oz, kind of goes back to what happened before Dorothy arrived. And Elphaba is the name that the musical gives for the Wicked Witch of the West. So the Green Witch in the musical Wicked, that's her name. And I toured with Wicked for 3 years all over the country. And then the Pacific Northwest was like my favorite place on tour. And I'm just so happy that I ended up settling here.
Where did you grow up, Meredith?
I grew up in Missouri, which made me laugh when Jen said that she hadn't heard of the Tennessee Waltz, because I feel like I've known that song since I was a little kid.
Yes, yes. Well, from Missouri, how could you not? Jen, where were you from originally?
California, that might explain it.
But you ended up spending time in Nashville.
I did, yeah. Before I moved to the Pacific Northwest, I was based in Nashville for about 6 years.
Okay, so so does each of you have a solo career as well as what you do together? Is that how you work it? And it, either way, I'd like you to tell us about what kinds of music you're doing. You mentioned Americana, but that's still a puzzle to a lot of us.
Jen, do you want to go first?
I've been definitely focused on a solo career. I've spent the last decade touring with sometimes solo, but mostly with a band, a trio, writing my own music. So that's really kind of what I was focused on after musical theater for about a decade. And I would say that music I categorize as bluesy, jazzy, rock, I would say, soulful. And then when I teamed up with Meredith, it just felt natural for us to focus on folk and, I guess, Americana, which I would guess is like kind of a combination of folk rock and country put together. And that's where I am with it, yeah.
How about you, Meredith? Were you the folky?
Sorry if I interrupted you. I'm doing a lot of musical theater still, mostly in concert, because of where I am in my career. Like I was singing a lot of Judy Garland, Barbara Streisand music, but I also teach and play dulcimer and guitar, and then was touring the Joni Mitchell Blue concert, the one you mentioned before.
Right.
And then when Jen and I, you know, we've been singing so many for so long that it was just kind of a natural progression into like back into harmony singing and a lot of harmony singing in folk rock music, which I think Jen's exactly right. It's like folk rock, folk and country kind of meshed together with like a, that shine a light on historical American traditional music, you know? But ours was like a little bit of a pop edge, I think. And so I'm doing my own thing too. And then just really enjoy spending time with Jen because we've been friends for so long. It's just really fun.
And you know what's funny about this Americana though is that it's one of those terms, although one of our programmers who features a lot of it specifically, and we have a whole program on Saturday afternoons as well, I think, attributes Southern music also to some of the source material. But to me, because I'm a old-time folky and international, I figure you could, with a word like that, you could do whatever you want. Right?
Oh, yeah. And, I agree.
Put it all together there. So I'm curious, when you, since both of you write music as well, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So what inspires you? I'm not talking about other artists. I'm wondering why, how do you sit down and write something? Do you start because a tree inspires you, or some kind of political issue, or the beauty of the morning, or what gets you going?
Well, that is an excellent, excellent question, Carol. And you like halfway answered it in dreaming about how we might answer it. I think different things we find inspiring, nature, life with family, mm-hmm. Relationships. Mm-hmm. We've been collaborating with this a lyricist recently named Alfred Howard. He's based out of San Diego, and have collaborated with him on a few projects where he came up with the lyrics and then inspired our Jen and I writing the music mm-hmm. to his words. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that happens sometimes, injustice or, troubles in the world are mm-hmm. certainly like impetus for a reaction and lyric mm-hmm. writing, and then just processing like what it is to be alive today, I think is like a real ignition, a spark for creativity.
Yeah, yeah. Where can people find your music?
We are on all major digital platforms. Any place you listen to streaming music, you can find us there. And then you can also buy our CD or vinyl we have available at sirensongsmusic.com. And we actually have an online concert this Sunday.
Oh.
And if you find us on Facebook, we have a Facebook page, Siren Songs Music. You can find out more about our online concert, which is how we're performing these days. Mm-hmm. But we decided to do a concert to celebrate the release of Tennessee Waltz today. So
great.
You can hear us now, live on your computer on Sunday.
Now, is that going to be just on Facebook, though, or is it going to be streamed somehow for those of us who don't have Facebook?
Yeah, exactly. You can, if you go to stageit.com, it's just how it sounds, stageit.com, and then look up Siren Songs.
Okay.
That's the platform we'll be on. So we won't be performing on Facebook. It's another platform that is mm-hmm. Kind and wonderful to artists, and we enjoy playing on that platform. So
nice.
Stageit.com, and it's Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific. Pay what you can.
You mentioned something that I haven't asked anybody, and how is it that what you said was a platform that's been kind to musicians? Have you found much of that going on?
Jen, do you want to answer that? You had a very reactionary laugh. Do you want to try, or do you want me to?
One little specific thing with Stage It is that they did decide to change their payment structure to be more generous once the pandemic started, because they were aware that musicians needed another avenue in terms of performing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So that was nice. I think I laughed because I think the question is probably inspired by what most people realize, which is that most websites are definitely not kind to artists.
Right. Right.
So I'm trying to think of another example besides stage
well,
being kind that
there have been
hard to come up with
some.
One.
There have been some changes, and I've seen people be able to, even some of the theaters have been. And here, I should just mention that I hope that people are tuning into things like KMUN's YouTube channel and the Liberty Virtual and Liberty Theater Virtual. But these are not money makers. There's no doubt about it. But there are. I've gone to some shows at various places, and it's very challenging for, I'm sure you know better than I do how challenging it is. But hopefully some of us will be able to tune in to stageit.com 5 p.m. on Sunday and catch Siren Songs, my guests, Meredith K. Clark and Jen Grinnells, and look for their music on all of the digital platforms. I don't think I've ever said those two words together. Thank you. That's 21st, or maybe it's only 20th century, but I'm back in the day. So that's great. Thank you so much for joining me, Meredith and Jen, and I look forward to hearing more of your music and also to seeing you back in Astoria performing sometime when things like that happen again.
Oh, we would love that, yeah.
Great. Okay. Take care, be well, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.